Dear youth, it's so good to be with you again to this video. I thank God and the Church for the opportunity to share with you a few thoughts from the Scripture, and I pray and I believe and I hope that what I'm going to share with you is not gonna be only a short piece of information, more information from the Scripture, but also a means through which God speaks to you. So, I encourage you, every time you hear a message, no matter it's a live one from the pulpit or a recorded one like mine, every time you hear a message, pray that you may understand what God wants to tell you. More than that, during the message, try to take notes. Notes that will help you apply the word and remind you during the week God's word, and after it, after you heard the message, the sermon, try, pray and ask God to help you apply the word in your daily life. That means taking the word from your head to the soul, from the mind to the heart. And may God bless you. Amen. Well, before I start my message, I start sharing with you the thoughts that God put on my heart. I like to ask, to start by asking you a question, a very honest and personal question. And here it is. Are you a follower of Jesus Christ? Are you a true follower of Jesus Christ? Well, before you rush to answer and declare and immediate, yes, I am, just sit for a moment and think, really think about it. Are you a true follower, an unashamed follower of Jesus Christ, or do you leave sometimes your faith at the door depending on the circumstances? Are you a true follower of Jesus Christ or a simple fan of Jesus Christ? Well, I think this is a very crucial question for each one of us, because the answer we give determines our present and especially our future. You see, it is very easy to mix up these two words, fan and follower. And before understanding what do they mean in spiritual terms, let's define them and see what's the difference between a follower and a fan of somebody. Now, I know that in America and US, the American football is very important for most of the people. For some, I've heard and read in newspapers, it's their life. They live for football. They live for being there at every match. So, honestly, I like to tell you that I don't know much about American football. And I think that I should know, and most important, I should be on the right side by the time we move to Arizona. But in the meantime, I'm gonna stick to tennis. Now, if you are a Romanian, or if you have Romanian parents, or even though you are settled in Arizona, you should know that we Romanians are proud to have a professional tennis player who is currently ranked world number 2, and her name is, hope you know it, Simona Halep. Yes. Well, if we come back to American football and think about a fan of a certain team, a person, a guy who's a fan of a certain American team, we used to go to every match with no shirt and with his chest painted with a flag of his favorite team. More than that, this guy sits in the stands and cheers for his team. He's got a signed jersey which hangs somewhere on the wall of his room, and he has bumper stickers on the back of his car. He knows all about the team. He knows all about every player of the team. But you know what? Nothing is required of him. There's no sacrifice that he has to make. And the truth is that as excited as he may seem, if the team start to let him down and has a few off seasons, his passion will wane pretty quickly. After several losing seasons, you can expect him to jump off the fan wagon and begin cheering for another team. You know why? Because he's a simple fan. He's a simple fan of the team. Well, let's shift to the women's side. Let's talk about a girl who's a fan of a certain actress. Well, this lady, this girl, this woman, never misses a celebrity news show. She always buys the latest fashion magazine. She's a huge fan of a certain Hollywood actress. This woman not only knows every movie this actress has ever played in, but she knows the high school she went to. More than that, she knows her birthday. She knows the name of this actor's first boyfriend. She even knows the actor's real hair color, something that even the actress herself is no longer certain of. She knows everything there is to know. But you know what? She doesn't know the actress. She's a huge fan, but after all, she's just a fan. That's the difference between being a fan and being a follower. But you know what? I think that Jesus Christ has a lot of fans these days. Fans who cheer for him in good days. Fans who are going to applaud him, to love him when everything goes well. But people who walk away when it's difficult, when they're going through a difficult season. Fans who sit safely in the stands cheering, but they know anything, they don't know anything about the sacrifice and pain in the field. Fans of Jesus who know all about him, but people who don't know him personally. People who know everything about him, about his life, about his verse, about his works, but never had the chance to know him personally. But you know what? It's more interesting that Jesus Christ actually had a lot of fans even during his earthly life. There are many examples in the Bible where people surrounded him and they liked him. And I'm going to stick to only one passage. Now, if you have your Bibles with you, I'd like to encourage you to open with me in John chapter 6. Well, it is amazing what Jesus does there. He feeds 5,000 people. So, there he is, having a huge group around him, a huge group of people, and he gives them food. And the next day, they come again, expecting to be fed again for free. And Jesus Christ looks at them and tells them, look, no more free food. But you know what? You know what's the most astonishing thing? That I'm the bread of life, Jesus Christ said. So I'm enough. So let it go and follow me. And it is very disappointing because you read in John 6, verses 66, that from that point on, many who had been traveling with him no longer followed him. Many of those who just followed him after hearing these words, they no longer followed him. They turned and went home. Well, I think this verse is very important because it makes the clear distinction between two groups of people, those who were traveling with Christ and those who were actually following Christ. Those who were traveling with him and those who were just following Jesus Christ. In other words, those who were in it for the free food and for the inspirational teachings, and those who were in it because Jesus Christ was enough for them, because actually Jesus Christ was everything for their lives, for what they needed, for what they were looking for. Two different groups of people, following Jesus and only traveling with Jesus. So Christ, because he was the Son of God, because he knew the hearts of the people, because he knew what there was in their minds, he knew the reasons they followed him. And that is why in Luke chapter 14, he tells the people what a follower of Jesus Christ really means. So if you open the Bibles in Luke 14 verse 25, Jesus Christ says, it says that large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. So, there he is, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, on his way to Jerusalem. And a crowd, the Bible tells us, gathered around him. Actually, the Bible tells us that there were great multitudes all around him. And when Jesus Christ saw those multitudes, he turned and said to them, I'm not looking for fans. I'm actually looking for followers. And this is the message Jesus Christ is telling nowadays. He's not looking for fans, guys, anymore. Actually, he has never looked for fans. He always looked for followers. Do you know why? Because it's easy to be a fan. Fans are here today and they are gone tomorrow. Fans are here when everything goes well, when there is peace, where there's a safe environment, where everything's go well. But the same people will leave tomorrow. Because following takes commitment. Following takes a sacrifice. So unfortunately, many churches today are filled with people, with fans rather than followers. There are people in the pews that are fans of the preacher, of a certain preacher from the church, are fans of the worship leader, of a certain kind of worship, a certain kind of music. They are fans even of Jesus Christ. But there are people who never made the transition to become followers of Jesus Christ. Never. So, I'd like to challenge you right now. And I think this is the time for us, for each one of you. I think this is the time for you when Jesus Christ asks you and then challenges you to declare your loyalty. You're even the Son of God, or you're not His. So right now, and maybe the Holy Spirit wants to tell you that it is time for you to decide whether you are a simple follower or you are a committed follower of Jesus Christ. So I'd like to challenge you to think about it and decide today to become a follower of Jesus Christ. So what does it mean? Being a follower is not easy. First of all, if you want to become a follower of Jesus Christ, you have to realize that there is a cost of following Christ. It begins with complete commitment. You know what Jesus said to the multitudes? Follow me in verse 25. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. We hear these words, and some of you may say, wait just a minute. Did Jesus just tell me that if I wanted to help him, to follow him, I have to hate those who were the closest to me? Well, for some of us, this may seem a bit complete opposition to what we know about God and the way Bible describes him. After all, if we look in the Bible, God is love. So hate the people who are closest to us and God is love? I cannot understand. Well, it's very interesting because beyond this verse, there is a certain principle. And this principle is that God is very serious about the commitment to him. So much that he even commanded the children of Israel in Old Testament to kill anyone who even tried to tempt them, even if that person was a family member or a close friend. Now, do not misunderstand what does the Bible want to tell us. Because these words do not talk about killing people. The idea is that God expects everything, expects from our relationship everything. And he wants that our relationship to him to be a sacred one. So he wants us to be the first in the first place in our hearts. So I would like to ask you right now, Are you as committed to Him as He is to you? Are you as committed to Him as Jesus Christ is to you? Well, He showed that to us, going to the Christ and dying instead and taking our place. More than that, the Bible tells us that following Christ begins with total commitment and continues with total sacrifice, with a supreme sacrifice. Follow me. In verse 26, Jesus said to the multitudes, "Whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." So, what does it mean to bear the cross? See, we often hear people talk about the problems of life and suggest that those are the crosses we have to carry in our lives. But you know what? The cross of Christ represents sacrifice. Jesus came to the cross because of sin. So Paul tells us in Romans 6:23 that the wages of sin is death. So because of the sin, someone had to die. And that someone should have been you and me. So, however, because of our sinful nature, even if we had died on the cross, we would have never freed ourselves from the sin's penalty. So, therefore, Jesus had to come and live the perfect life we could not and die for our sins. And now what He asks from us, what He asks from me, and what He asks from you is to join Him in that death to sin so we can live for Him. We can live for Him forever. That's why carrying the cross, or that's what carrying the cross is all about. Carrying the cross is to, as Paul says in Romans 6:11, reckon yourself to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. It is to know that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin, Romans 6:6. So, carrying the cross means dedicating yourself to the Lord now, right now, and forever. It is when you determine that you will not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God, Romans 12:2. So, being a follower comes always with a cost. If you want to be followers rather than fans, we must take the supreme commitment, total commitment, and then continue with supreme or total sacrifice to turn from the sin and from ourselves so that we can be fully committed to Him. So I'd like to end with this question that I started with. Are you a true follower of Jesus Christ? If you do not know, then I'd like to challenge you to answer this question, these four questions. First of all, have you made a decision for Jesus, or have you committed to Jesus Christ? Second, do you just know about Jesus, or do you really know Him? Third, is Jesus one of many, or is He your one and only? And fourth, are you a self-empowered fan or a spirit-filled follower? May God bless you and help all of us follow Him daily. Amen.